offering. And
Travis beat me to it last week. He said you choose the blessing through obedience. How many remember that? Okay, you remember what Pastor Travis taught? He talked about obedience and you're getting the blessing. That's your choice to obedience. So I'm just going to go on there. To something that is on my heart. It's been on my heart for a while. And I think we should be on everybody's heart. And I'm not telling you what you have to do, but it's on my heart, okay? And it's called Disciple, okay? And we talked about on that, I think in November or something like that, a little bit on Disciple. But it was about making Disciple, okay? Which is Matthew 20, is it 28, 16 or 18? Okay, put it on there, and that's what we looked at. Jesus said to his disciple, okay, the people that follow him, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. So how many desire to be a disciple? Okay, so where's your cross? Have you denied him? Or every day you don't think about it or whatever. And I'm not talking just to you and being bold or talking to myself here too. Okay? I want to be a special disciple. And a disciple is somebody that is following somebody else. So who else are we going to follow? Jesus. Well, that's pretty basic. How are we going to do that? That's another thing. Because I want to live, and I want to die, and I want to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when my tomb lays there, here, or wherever it is, I want to say he was a disciple of Jesus Christ. That is all I want to hear. I don't want to hear that this or that. I just want to hear this man follow Christ. And it's one thing to say, but it's another thing to do. How many will understand that? I mean, it's really hard to do it sometimes because Jesus says, if you abide in me. And we don't really know what the word abide means. So I always looked in the dictionary, and I keep doing that. It means to accept and practice his teaching in our daily life. So if you abide in Christ, you accept, you believe his teaching in your daily life. That means you become a follower of Jesus Christ. And you know, that means you got to forsake about yourself. You got to deny. Sometimes you want to have your own way. No. I'm going to have Jesus' way. What is he saying? You know, there was a few years back, maybe 10, 20 years, there was a movie came out. What would Jesus do? Isn't that what it said? Yes. Meaning when things happen in your life, what would Jesus do? How many remember that? All right. And sometimes it's still here. What would he do? So we got to get to the place where we say, what would Jack do? Right? What would Judy do? What would Ron do in a certain circumstance or something that happened? And now you don't want to have your own way. You want to die to yourself because yourself, you would yell at them or you would do something. But you perfectly say, I'm going to let it go this time and I'm going to get it next time. And there's a denying of who you are or what you've learned and who you've become to let Christ arise in you. Aren't you glad that he gave us his Holy Spirit? He's our comforter. And he's our teacher. And you know, sometimes we say, well, I accepted Jesus. Jesus lives in me. Well, really, to be correct, Jesus doesn't live. The Holy Spirit lives in you. Jesus sitting at the right hand of the Father, there's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And he sent you His Spirit because he knew you were going to need it. How many understand that? The day of Pentecost, they were all in one accord, they were all in one room, and you know, the curtain shake and the table shook, The foundation shook, and everything shook because that was the Holy Spirit coming down upon the believer. You got the same experience. You can think about, if you would have been a believer then, if you would have went into that room, you would have been filled with the Holy Spirit. Tongues of fire would have been over your head, and you would have spoken other tongues that you wanted or not. That's what happened. The Holy Spirit shook everything. All right. Matthew 16:24 says, Jesus was talking to his disciple. He says, if you desire to come after me, you must deny yourself. Now, the word desire is there. Everything starts with the desire. And today I'm just preaching on the word desire, because if you desire him to be bigger in you than you are, that's good. But if you don't have the desire, if you're just listening to me say, well, I don't have the desire to live for God, I don't really have the desire to be a disciple, I don't even have the desire, but if you have the desire, he says you must deny yourself. That's the part I have a hard time with. Anybody else have a hard time with that one? Okay, so I make two of us. Okay. It says, pick up your cross and follow me. And I know it's not literally a wood cross. It's just, it's not going to be easy. Jesus speaks in parable, so it's not going to be easy. Sometimes you have to make choice. In 1989, Pastor Sharon was offered a course. We had moved to Mississauga. I'll tell you the story of our life for. Because we wanted to put our kids in a Christian school. We got radically saved one day, and we got hooked up to the Word of Faith message, Word of Faith for church or whatever. So we've learned, you know, you've got to stand on faith. You've got to believe God. You've got to walk. You don't see nothing. You don't see any healing. You don't see any money. You got to trust God and push on it. And we did that. We were crazy about everything. I mean, we had the kids. Pastor Travis would lay on his bed, and he was just couldn't breathe because of allergy to the dog. And, you know, we just left the dog in the room. So he'll be okay. Sure, it'll be okay. We believe God. We trust God. Some people say we went too far. I say maybe we didn't go far enough. Who knows? Anyway, we said we want to put our kids in a Christian school, so we looked around. We found a school in Mississauga. And we moved our family from where we were. We were saved by that 8 years. And we moved it to Mississauga, got into a church there, and put our kids in the church, in the school. And that's what happened to us. That's why we moved there. We moved because of our kids, because we wanted them to have a good education, okay? So at that time, we both had to work. I started a business. My wife had to work. When we got there, we couldn't buy a house. There was no house for sale. And if there was one, you had to buy it right away. You couldn't go back and say, well, I'm thinking about it until tomorrow. It was gone. So we bought a house, started a business, and my wife ended up to school. And they offered her to be a computer programmer. Everything paid, go to school, I forget which school, St. George, or I forget, George School. Anyway, everything. So it was three weeks, the course had begun, and she said, okay, I'll go. So she went, and she realized if she was going to finish that course, she had to move there, stay there in the dorm, and study night and day because she was so behind. So that leaves us, me and three boys, you know, and some were crazy at that time. And we had to sit down and make a decision. Okay, is that what we're going to do? If you leave me, I'm the one who's get the short end of the stick. and the kids, and she's gone. She would have done it, but we had to decide and made a decision. Finally, we said, no, it's too much, because we were active in the church. We always were. So between the business, and between the kids, between the church, and between our life, that was kind of, it was a no-no. But we had to make a decision. So we couldn't go that way. We made that decision. So she would need an intense training. And we said no. Sometimes you're going to say no. To be a disciple, you're going to need intense training, right? I mean, you know, pick up your cross, deny yourself. This is a big stuff, right? It's the same thing. So you got to make the decision. I'm going to go ahead with that, or I'm not. Your will is there, okay? Now, let me put some light here. The Bible talks about Christian, talks about believer, talks about disciple. A lot of time I meet people. You could be in this room here and say you're a Christian, not knowing Christ, because you were born into a denomination that talks about Jesus, believe in Jesus and all that stuff. So you're just following their teaching, and you say, well, because sometimes I talk to people, are you a Christian? Yeah, I am. I'm a Christian, okay? That means you love Christ, but you haven't committed yourself to him. Christian. Believer is different. Believer is somebody that was touched by the Spirit of God. So most of us in this room here are believers because you were touched by the Spirit of God. How many understand that? Every one of us. Now, when we were touched by the Spirit of God, we went all the way for God. You have to understand that. And some of us, maybe we go all the way for a while. We're on cloud 47. Isn't there a moment in your life when you first got saved? It could have been 2 weeks. It could have been 2 months. It could have been 6 months. And you were riding on cloud 47 or 56, whatever number you like. Okay? Cloud 9? Okay. And you know what? You were totally changed. You told your parents. You told your friend. You know, something has happened. I mean, I'm in love with Jesus and all that stuff. And you know, you were born again. Again, you know, you were born by the Spirit of God. You become a believer. And this is great. God wants you to be a believer because believers have access to heaven. By faith, we have access to heaven. My Bible says that believers can lay their hand on the sick and they can recover. See, there's a whole thing about who's a believer. A believer, you know, you become a believer because you made a confession, you believe God, and that's awesome, but the honeymoon period will end at a certain time. And you know what I'm talking about. You're a believer, but then, you know, you've got something in your life. See, if you're a believer too long, and if you don't become a disciple, what's going to happen? The old's going to try to come back to the believer. And if you had problem with an area, chances are for a while you were on cloud 9, there was no problem. But now that you came down and you faced the floor again, now you start all the thought, all the things you were believing, everything is coming back. And some of us may even say, I don't know if I'm saved. You know, we're thinking maybe it didn't happen. But it did happen. But the problem or the reason is you didn't make any way to become a disciple. See, when Jesus came down the mountain, he had spent the night in prayer. He chose 12 disciples. How did he do that? I don't know. He prayed. He asked God. And those that he thought would be able to carry the discipleship to the end, he picked them. Now, there was a lot more there. But he chose them. Now, if Jesus was here today and he said, I've got to pick 12 disciples, who would put their hands up? Well, that's not good. Well, we've got one here. We should all say, pick me, Lord. Pick me, Lord. I'm going to go all the way with you. Yes, pick me. Because if you don't become a disciple, what's going to happen? You're going to grow dimmer and dimmer in your faith, and sometime you will wander. You know, God needs you, and you need him. Isn't that great? So, how many remember after we got saved, and you said, oh, yeah, a reality of Jesus? Oh, I did that. Okay. So, Jesus is coming. Are you ready? And you know what he's saying? Grow up. Grow up. Sorry, I missed it. So God is really saying, you got work to do. I got work to do. And I was studying a discipleship just for my own personal life. Because, Lord, I said, you know, sometimes you don't feel like praying. Sometimes you're too busy. Sometimes this happens. And we all have 24 hours in one day. And if you say you don't have time, it's because your schedule is not right. You got to look at how many do financing, budgeting your money? Nobody? Okay. Yeah, you do? Okay. The rest of you will have an altar call for broken finance, whatever. So this is a quote. All disciples are believers. But not all believers are disciples. Okay? Do it again. All disciples have to be believers, but all believers are not disciples. Okay? Does that make sense? Okay. Because to go from being a believer to disciple, now there's a lot of work to do. There's a lot of denying yourself. There's a lot of carry stuff, you know? Believers are born by the Spirit. Disciples are born out of commitment. I'll repeat that. Some of you didn't hear. Believers are born by the Spirit, okay? And that's awesome. But disciples are born through commitment. Right? When you commit after, that's what happened. Luke 6:46 says, but why do you call me Lord? Or some translation will say Master or Lord. Why do you call me Lord? And you do not do the things which I say. That's what he was saying to some of the people there. Some translation says Master. Now, if I have a master's degree, okay, I don't have one. You know, you can have a doctor. Anybody has a master's degree here? You, Raphael? You have a master's degree? In what? What? Oh, so you studied the Star of Bethlehem and all that stuff? Awesome. How many loves astrology? Planet. What? Okay. Anyway, so that means because he's got a master, he can teach it. Is that true? Yeah, because you can teach it because you got a master. All it does is saying a master can teach. And this is what they call Jesus, Master and Lord. And he was the best teaching. And we think that discipleship started with Jesus. It didn't start with Jesus, but Jesus made it perfect. Because you had people there. Gamaliel, Paul was under Gamaliel for a few years to learn discipleship and all the laws and all that stuff. And but Jesus performed it, made it better by working with them, by talking to them, by getting them to go and do it. And that's what the Holy Spirit has been giving to us for, because He wants to work with you. So we have to have a relationship with the Spirit. And sometimes we forget, we don't even say, "Good morning, Holy Spirit," or we forget to say our prayer before we go to bed, or we forget to talk to Him. We're busy and this happened. And we kind of put discipleship on the back burner, and we all do it. We all do it. Okay? So, a few years ago, that's quite a few years ago, maybe 30 years ago, there was a show that came on to a TV, a movie was called Ninja Turtle. It came back, right? And my kid, they used to watch it, Ninja, right? And they had the sweater with the turtle on it and the running shoes and all that. Talked to Pastor Travis, he knows that. You know, he had all those things. And the story of the Ninja Turtle, don't know if I'm totally right, is somebody threw a rat down the sewer, and somebody threw four turtles down the sewer. I don't know. So somehow they met in the sewer, and because the rat has watched his master do kung fu or whatever, he was an expert, you know. And somehow he began to train the turtle. Is that right? So he's the master. Now I don't want to know. What's his name? Huh? Splinter. So Splinter is the master. And somehow in the sewer, he's training those turtles to become, and they're really the disciple of Splinter. You can see that. He teaches them everything he knows. And then they go out there. And they do their stuff against evil or whatever. Okay? That's the story. Well, that's what Jesus is doing with us. He's the master. He's the Lord. He's the all-knowledgeable. And through the Holy Spirit comes into our life. He says, "I'm going to train you. I mean, when I'm done with you, you are going to be dead. Really, really dead to yourself. And you're going to be alive unto me." That's true? And that's what Splinter did with the turtle. Now, I just came back. I saw someplace advertised they have a new version of turtle. I don't know. Anyway. Okay. How many knows you become with the people you live like? You live with. How many knows you see some people that have been married for 60 years? They both kind of look the same. They talk the same. They fold their arm the same. Right? And they become because they live together, right? So the more you live with somebody, it's true, you become like them. My wife is becoming like me more daily. Some people says to her, "Pastor Sharon, your English is really, really bad." And then she looks at me, "I told you, you got to learn to talk because I'm getting like you." That's the story I hear. So whatever good, I mean, you watch brothers and sisters and you watch a family and they have the same trait. They talk, the formation of the lips when they talk is the same, the word, the posture, because you become like the people you live with. Right? And so it is the same. How many want God to be the head of your life? How many wants to begin to think like Him? You want to begin to talk like Him? And you want to become to act like Him? That's because people look at you and they say, "Wow, this person is not the way they used to be." Because you have spent time with the Master. And the Master has trained you. He's trained you, and now that you are in Christ, the Holy Spirit of God dwells within you, then He speaks to you. And sometime you would say, "Well, I never heard the voice of God for a while." Well, you got to repent and you got a psalm to please and say, Lord, I think I'm getting a little bit dull of hearing here. It's not him. He's always speaking. It's us who sometimes don't hear. And we got to come back to the wine, to the board, and say, okay, God, let's take it again. That's why we have to live daily, one day at a time. There's a song about that. Did you know that? Okay. So you got to begin to think like him, talk like him, and act like him. How many knows the story of Bartimaeus? I like that story. You know why I like that story? Because the man was sitting by the wayside or by the road, blinded as a bat, could not see. And then the traffic comes in and the people and the holler. You know, when you're blind, your ears are very tuned to everything that's happening. And if you're deaf, your eyes are very tuned to whatever. You know, it compensates. So he was hearing crowd and holler and rejoicing and blah, blah, whatever. And he asked somebody, he says, what's happening? Jesus of Nazareth is walking by. That's all he had to say. And you know what he said? Jesus! And I remember one time, years ago, we did that. Remember that time, Yvonne? You were sitting over here. I remember where people sit. Okay. And I said to them, I said, well, all we're going to do is we're going to cry to him. Maybe you have a need. And so we started. One said, Jesus. Go ahead, say Jesus. Okay, somebody else?
Jesus.
Okay. But the way you're saying it, you're not going to get nothing, right? And we started doing this, and, you know, we just said, Jesus, Jesus, kind of. But when you face your life, you face your need, like this man was blind and somehow he must have heard about Jesus healing the blind, doing miracle. Everything that he had, all the passion that he had, whatever he had, began to cry, Jesus! So loud, that he got attention of Jesus. And sometimes it's not always how loud you cry, it's how deep your cry is. And Jesus stopped. And that time, we began to do that. And then Yvonne started crying so loud. I said, okay, now control yourself, more or less. You know, I'm saying that to myself. I mean, you're doing overboard. But she wasn't. She wasn't. She was just crying out of the pit of herself, you know. And God healed her right there on the spot. Didn't touch her. Didn't do nothing. So what am I saying? Am I saying sometime from the depth of our heart, we're crying unto Jesus, even though we're saved and things are going maybe not so good, like the song that you wrote. There's a pit there. You cry unto him, and then he hears us. And it is scriptural. How many would understand that? And sometimes we forget. Maybe we embarrass ourselves. My wife, she gets on the piano, and she starts singing, and then she starts yelling and worshiping, and she cries, and she spit, and everything. And sometimes I'll be driving, and I'll do the same thing. You know, I have to pull over. Okay? That is good. That means that I'm crying out of the depth of my heart. And God hears that crying. God heard Bartimaeus. And he just said, what do you want? He said, I want to see. He knew what he wanted. And he says, okay, sounds good to me. You can see. You know, the gospel is so simple. Sometimes we need people to complicate it. So, okay. This is going to sound a little bit far-fetched, but we're going to activate that today. Do you have any need in your life? Yeah? Anybody else has any need? You don't want to say, you don't have to say what it is. All you have to is you have a need. And if you don't have a need, we can give you one. That's no problem. There's a lot of need here. Okay? So we're going to do that. Okay, so let's do an activation of this. I know you don't do that in church because not very proper, and my time is going out, so we don't have much time. Okay? So let's cry Jesus. Yeah, now. Activation.
Jesus!
Okay, keep doing it.
Jesus!
Keep doing it.
Jesus!
All right, go on.
Jesus!
All right, so this, you can take that home and practice, okay? Take that home and practice. But after a while, you're going to get into a place where that name, Jesus, will just be like the man sitting by the street. And hearing that he's there, he's going to hear you. A lot of time we stop just before we get to the top of the hill and we roll back. Just another little push and will put us, you know. And maybe we do that sometime. I do that sometime, I notice. And some of the people do that too. Okay. So we stop communication with the Holy Spirit because he's our comforter. Comforter. Did I say comforter? Comforter and our teacher. Okay. I put that in there. Character, okay. A lot of character. You can go to some church. They don't talk much about the Holy Spirit doing a work in you, but they talk about you doing a work. Okay? Like they will say, Owen, you can't do that anymore, okay? When you get in front of people, you got to be nice, okay? or Don, you know, you can't do that or say that anymore, you know? It's not good, okay? The pastor will say that. That's a disciple of the pastor. We're talking about a disciple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will say, you cannot do that anymore. You cannot go there anymore. This is done over with. You are a believer, and you're trying to be a disciple of mine, so don't say that, don't go there. You can do this, you can do that. And the choice becomes yours. How many understand that? How many had some stop before? Holy Spirit stopped you right in the track. You were going to do something, and you got like a check. Well, that wasn't the pastor, what he said last week. It was the Holy Spirit, okay? And you know, in this church, we really believe that I got to turn you loose. You know, there's a saying that we catch the fish, the Holy Spirit cleans them, meaning he takes care of them. He talks, because I'm not with you every day of the week. I don't see you, I don't see how you behave, but the Holy Spirit is with you, and he will never leave you. Wherever you go, you might as well settle, you can't get away from him. He will correct you. He will teach you. And this is great. That's a good plan. Isn't that right? So I don't want to become a religious. I want to become a disciple. When people come in here, you know what they're looking for? They're looking for, well, I'm looking for Kleenex, but when people come here, they want to see Jesus. And you know what happened? They see you. You are imperfect. You make mistakes. You say wrong things. You do wrong things. And you know, some people are very loud and push their doctrine and push what they believe. Other people stand in a corner and shy or whatever, and you got all kinds of people, and they're looking for Jesus. As much as we begin to work with the Spirit of God, and God says, okay, Jane, calm down, okay? You're too loud, or you're too noisy. You distract this brother here, or whatever, right? And she hears that, and then she does it. And the Holy Spirit begins. She's being trained to be a disciple. You're being trained to be a disciple, not here at work. I know so many times, you know, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, stop. Don't do that. Do it. Don't do it. Go there. Don't go there. And you know what? Remember we talked about choice? I choose to listen. I did choose not to listen a few times. That was a big boo-boo. Okay? And we all do that. But the more we hear the Holy Spirit, the more we say, okay, yes, Lord, I'll do. You're the master. I am the clay. You know? So the first thing, I want to close with this. It's 12 o'clock. The first thing we want to do is have the desire. How many have the desire to allow the Holy Spirit to change you? Okay. And I know we all have that desire because we get tired with ourselves. Because we end up doing the same thing over again. Isn't that true? And number two, we have to say, Holy Spirit, help me. I am available. I desire you. I desire to be a different person, the person you want me to be. And when we allow the Spirit of God, not the pastor or not the elder or whatever, the Holy Spirit, you cannot be afraid of the Holy Spirit. You know, sometimes there was a lot of bad things happened with the Holy Spirit. Well, sometimes people think it's the Holy Spirit, and people will fall in the aisle and bark and all that stuff, right? And then other people will scare and go away, and they ran away from God because I don't want nothing to do with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is gentle. He's a comforter. He wants to come into your life and train you and teach you because Jesus has sent him for us, for me, for you. We just allow him to say, Holy Spirit. And this is what you got to do this week, more or less. Talk to the Holy Spirit. If you do not talk to him, he will not talk to you most of the time. So he's just waiting there, and you're talking. How many talks to himself? You do? All right. But then you begin to say, Holy Spirit, you know. Hey, it's a beautiful day. It's so nice. I forgive my husband. I forgive my wife. And Lord, I just forgive everybody. I just want to be with you. Holy Spirit, what should I do today? What do you want me to say to so-and-so? Talk to him. Invite them into your life. And then you begin to talk to him. And you notice how he speaks to you. You notice what he says. And you start thinking like the Spirit of God. You start saying the right thing. Changes you. Because no sense for me to stand here and say, this is what you have to do, this is what you can do, and all that stuff. Great. You can go to any other church, you're going to hear it. But at this church, you're going to say, you're going to hear, Holy Spirit is in you. He's going to watch over you. He's going to train you, teach you, and he's going to make you a disciple of Christ. Then you will be able to make other people disciple. Not true? So let's stand for a minute. My time is up. I'm going to ask the worship team to come. And she did a song that